Good evening. This is John Batchelor. We begin the show tonight in Kashmir, a very troubled, beautiful land. Trouble I can read about. Beautiful, I've never seen it, but I'm told that the tourists who were victims of the Lashkar-e-Taiba attack were there to enjoy the sunset and the gorgeous vistas of Kashmir. And now both sides are at their starting line. They've exchanged gunfire, Pakistan and India. This is deadly earnest. There is the opinion that more is coming, military action on both sides. Lashkar-e-Taiba is a terrorist organization linked for years with major figures in the Islamabad apparatus, military, for example, or ISI. The attack was made by a group calling itself the Resistance Front, but that's a renaming, not a reordering. The attack was especially appalling because it targeted the non-Muslims, picked them out for execution. Massacre. The consequence is a standoff, everybody watching. I speak several times tonight about the matter to Hossein Haqqani, former ambassador from Pakistan to the United States, to Bill Rajo of FDD, to Sadan Andume of the American Enterprise Institute. It is an alarming story that will get worse, not better, I'm told. Then on to the question of Ukraine. The meeting between the presidents Trump and President Zelensky at the Vatican, iconic, John Hardy calls it, but at the same time, the matter comes down to Crimea. That is the jaw-jaw now, rather than war-war. Russia wants the Crimea recognized as annexed permanently for Russian sovereignty. Ukraine forbids it by constitution or by law, John Hardy tells me. At least they're talking about the same thing, no longer about the front lines, about Crimea, a gem of an island. The war was fought there in 1855. I've been reviewing the pictures of the Crimean War when France and Britain joined together to make war on the Russians. It's an odd business for a beautiful place, I'm told. In any event, then we turn to the question of Mr. Vance's visit to India. Sadan Andume tells me it was very successful. Vice President Vance and Prime Minister Modi get along easily, and the strong ties between the two countries are said to be growing stronger. I note that the other day there was the announcement that Apple would be moving its iPhone operations, assembly certainly, maybe not all parts right away, to India by 2026, next year. Certainly a plum for India and a blow to the Chinese ambitions to be high-end exporters. Sadanand does tell me there have been small steps towards rapprochement between those two giants in these last months. But with the trouble in Pakistan, it's going to be difficult to maintain any momentum. Jimmy Lai, the publisher of Apple Daily, arrested 4 years ago, 3 years ago, and persecuted by the Chinese communists, in jail, 77 years old, on trial, accused of what? Publishing facts about the democracy movement of 2019. We're looking at a man who is at the end of his tether, and Mark Simon joins, a longtime assistant to Jimmy, to say that what we have here is a crisis of health. He's going to spend the summer waiting for his verdict at his drawn-out trial in an overheated environment, an old prison, without a window, without air conditioning, in his solitary cell. It's not a positive at all. Greg Scarlato joins about the North Koreans acting bolder, now acknowledging they sent thousands of troops to fight in the Ukraine conflict, and sold millions of shells, as far as I can tell, to the Russians to fire on the Ukrainians. DPRK has upped its game. It's now part of the axis of resistance. It's no longer a minor power at the edges of the earth. Mass layoffs in China. Gordon Chang joins. We talked about the Chinese economy, not the rosy scenario one that is published, but in fact the anecdotes of layoffs in the Pearl River Basin, the beginning of a tumble down the stairs. The miracle is being reversed. New World Report. Ernesto Araújo, former foreign minister of the Republic of Brazil, is in Cairo, and we talk of the Brazilian matter to do with the BRICS and Brazil's ambitions. And Brazil is mentioned by China as a source of food that they can switch their purchasing from American agriculture to Brazilian. Well, yes, if there's preparation, that's going to take some work, Ernesto says, to develop the fields and start the crops. You don't press a button, no matter how many robots you have. We also talk about the good news out of Argentina, the stabilization or apparently not gyrations of the peso, and also the positive report of growth in the winter, month to month, and an ebbing of inflation. Hard medicine that Argentina has taken, but it's showing results, and Javier Milei needs them. Then David Daoud joins Bill Raggio and myself, and we talk about Hezbollah, still recreating itself after the decapitation of the Gaza war. And Bridget Toomey and Bill Raggio join us to talk about the Houthis. The campaign is weeks old, and the Houthis continue to fire, and the Houthis continue to target, and the Houthis just plain continue. It is not possible to imagine ground troops in Yemen, and an air campaign is an augmentation, not a victory. That is air power Bible. We talk about Yemen with Bridget Toomey, and we also talk about Iraq with Bridget Toomey. Mukhi Sadr is not running, however, there's a reason to believe that he will have a great influence in the November election. Two Shiite factions are running against each other. Baghdad and Iraq remain as divided as ever. All these years later, overwhelmed by Iranian pressure, but at the same time with ambitions to deal with the Kurds of the north, the Shiites of the south, the Sunnis of the west, a country that is not uniform in any fashion. We learned that with the American deployment. Bill Whalen about high-speed rail, and Peter Berkowitz about human rights agitprop, how it's used as a weapon by NGOs like Doctors Without Borders. There's much more to the show. I hope you enjoy it. Thanks for listening.